Hi, this is Rachel.
Hi, Rachel. This is Susan Lewis from WRTI.
Wonderful. Good morning.
Good morning. Congratulations on the release of Blues Dialogues.
Oh, thank you so much.
Now, your materials call this an album of blues-influenced classical works for solo, violin, and piano, all by Black composers of the 20th and 21st centuries. How is classical music defined, do you think?
Oh, wow. That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Right.
You know, I mean, any category that you try to attach to it can always have exceptions if you say, well, it's composed music with no improvisatory element. Well, every once in a while there is, right? I guess the best answer is you know it when you see it, right? You can't totally explain it. But it's, you know, it's written music that's generally written by someone else, written to be performed, written out with many detailed instructions as far as articulations, dynamics, mostly written on the page. In fact, in this particular album, I don't do any improv. It's all completely composed. You know, it's art music that you would hear on a violin recital.
Right.
Only there's this influence of the blues, which is, you know, very much a more indigenous improvisatory type of style, which is infused in these pieces. And I grew up with both kinds of music kind of in the air, being a native Chicagoan. So
right.
It's so fun to find this music that blends both worlds.
Well, I've been listening to it. I love this album. It's really wonderful, and there's so much variety. The reason I asked the question about how we define classical music was I thought there's a lot of talk these days about blurring of genres, but maybe that's just the way we've chosen to change the way we think about music is music. Music was music 100 years ago, too, but
absolutely,
there were more divisions or more categories that we wanted to impose on it.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing is, you know, this album is timed to celebrate the release after 15 years of research of my foundation's first curricular volume for violin of music by Black composers, 22 pieces by 17 men and women from all around the world, Africa, Europe, Latin America, North America, the Caribbean. And this is actually really unique, not only because it's all Black composers, which has never been done before, but also in a pedagogical volume. There are four centuries of repertoire. There is art music, not folk music, but art music from, you know, so many different continents. And you just never find that in materials for beginning violinists. And that we very carefully drew the line between, you know, sort of traditional or folk music versus, you know, what you might call more like concert music or something like that.
Well, it's interesting because I understand this project you made reference to started perhaps back in 1997 when you had an album of violin concertos of Black composers of the 18th and 19th century. And that led
to
your Black Composers Project, where you collected all of these over 900 works by more than 350 Black composers from all over those continents that you mentioned.
I have a real passion for music research, and, you know, I'm trying to do everything I can for the cause of music education, and I also am a big fan of, you know, discovering cool repertoire. So it's kind of blends all of my interests into one project that also happens to be doing good for the world. So it's a perfect way to be spending my time. You know, it was really interesting because it was after that album came out, and, you know, and it was music from the 1700s and 1800s, the time of Mozart, the time of Brahms, by Afro-European and Afro-Caribbean composers. And I started getting approached by teachers and parents and students saying, you know, where can I find repertoire for my child? And this stuff is mostly in manuscript or out of print. You just can't find this information. So I had already started my foundation for the purposes of scholarships and instrument loans for young artists. And I decided, okay, I've got a not-for-profit. Let me take this on. And what's interesting is my new album actually came out of this Black Composers Project. So one album led to the project, and the project led to the next album. As I was collecting repertoire, there were a lot of pieces that I added into my own sort of rotating touring repertoire and really came to know and love over the years. And that kind of ultimately led to my deciding to record this particular slice of things on my blues record.
Well, with so many choices, how did you select the pieces for this album?
Well, it was really a tribute to my musical roots. People think heavy metal is my second favorite genre of music, and they're almost right, but blues is actually the second favorite, and heavy metal is third, Scottish fiddling is fourth, etc. But, you know, growing up in Chicago, just, you know, listening to my parents' old records, going to the Chicago Blues Fest, listening to the radio, sneaking into blues bars when I was a teenager to hear the band. You know, it's just something that I've lived with my whole life that I almost consider to be just like coming home musically. So the fact that this was music that I could perform on my violin that had that element was just very, very special to me. And of course, this represents but a fraction of the kinds of voices you find within the wide world of Black composers. You know, much music is, you know, just written to be reflective of its time and place, whether it's Romantic era or contemporary stuff that might be atonal or minimalist or, you know, it's not that all or even most classical music by Black composers is based on other kinds of so-called Black music. Certainly you do have music inspired by jazz, inspired by spirituals, inspired by hip-hop these days, which is super fun. But honestly, this is only a very narrow slice and not representative of what exists, but it was something that was very close to my heart and that I kind of had the background to know how to interpret. So it was just super fun, really.
Right. Well, so for people who aren't really familiar with the blues, how would you describe the blues? I noticed Blues Dialogues, the title of the CD, comes from perhaps this Dolores White collection of pieces.
Yeah, exactly. Dolores White's work title, I just thought would make the perfect description of the album because it is a dialogue between the blues and classical and sort of an exploration, really. The blues is just something that describes emotion, actually. People think of the blues as being sad or being protest music, and that's also true, but it's also music of celebration, music of overcoming. And I think it's something that's universally relatable. It's at the roots of so much music, whether you're talking about rock music or country music or other things. And I think it's in all of our blood. So I think this is something that is going to be very accessible for both classical fans and non-classical fans.
Right. And you have some composers that people may be familiar with, but also composers who are not as familiar.
Composers that people should become familiar with, exactly.
Right.
Probably William Grant Still is the most famous composer on the album. He was one of the great American composers of the 20th century, and as a African-American composer, he was the first to have his symphony played by major orchestras, the first to conduct a major orchestra, the first to have his opera staged by major companies. He broke a lot of ground. He's sometimes referred to as the father of African-American composers or something like that, but his music is absolutely great. David Baker, of course, is a very, very renowned composer who, you know, kind of blended jazz and classical. And yeah, and then a lot of these composers you may not have heard of. Billy Childs, who wrote a piece for me for this album, just won a Grammy last year and is really becoming quite a sensation. Duke Ellington, I'm sure you've heard of, but you may not have heard of Wendell Logan, who transformed his jazz standard into a beautiful concert piece for violin. Wendell Logan led the jazz program at Oberlin Conservatory, for example.
Right.
And then we've got Noel Da Costa, who is born in Nigeria to parents of Jamaican descent and then made his career in the USA. So he's alternately referred to as an African composer, an African-American composer, and a Caribbean composer. Everybody claims him. And that was such an interesting case of a work that I could tell by looking at the manuscript that it was super cool, but the handwriting just wasn't clear enough for me, and the piece was so complicated that I couldn't play it off the page. And so I had to wait all these years to learn it until I could actually sit down and have it engraved, you know, all the notes entered into the computer so that it was truly legible. It turned out to totally be worth it because it was even more awesome than I had guessed.
Well, that's an interesting point you're bringing up, that this is an album of discoveries in many ways. Did you have any particular surprises or thrills that you wanted to share?
Yeah, well, I love Erolyn Wallen's Woogie Boogie. She's a Belize-born composer who lives in the UK. So you'd think that an album of blues would be African-American composers, but we've got our European colleague, and that's just a super fun little piece, kind of a deconstruction of Boogie Woogie style for her piece, Woogie Woogie. So that was really neat. Then Daniel Bernard Rumain, who, of course, is very well known as both a performer and a composer, his piece kind of blends electronic music on the violin with like a Jimi Hendrix kind of approach to the blues. And he actually has you do all of these sound effects completely acoustically, but they're mimicking the types of things you might get from feedback if you were actually plugged in. And so that's a really neat kind of extended technique exploration right there.
That's cool. Well, what story do you think this album tells?
Yeah, I think variety is really the key thing. As I said earlier, you know, it's but a small slice of all the voices that are out there. But even within this narrow concept, there's just so many different approaches to how this music is blended together. And I think, you know, just the creativity that's showcased is really inspiring.
That's great. Well, one thing I forgot to ask you, you mentioned that when you had this project of collecting music of Black composers, but part of the reason you started the project was because people could not find the music, couldn't find more music. How did you find it?
Oh, well, I'm just basically a research geek, but it involved, I mean, gosh, there's, for example, I'll give you an example. There's a composer named Brindis de Salas who was known as the Black Paganini. Back in the 1800s, he was Afro-Cuban, and there was one piece of his living at the British Library. I spent the entire day there to get this piece. And, you know, every piece that we've collected has a story, you know, going to the composer's grandniece's attic and sorting through a box of unfiled archives, or going to different libraries around the world, calling all kinds of archives in different African countries. I mean, it's just been kind of an archaeological, or, you know, it's like half archaeologist, half detective work. Super fun to collect all that. We found a work for a violin duet by a Venezuelan composer of the 1700s. I mean, it's just so many different treasures. And besides the curricular volumes that we're publishing for strings and ultimately for youth orchestra, et cetera, we also are in the process of building a database so that performers everywhere can have access to what exists, where do you find it, et cetera, to make this music, you know, easily available to everyone.
That is so exciting, because so you're encouraging new music, but you're also rediscovering music that is new to us but may have been composed quite a long time ago.
Absolutely. Music from the 1700s, 1800s, 1900s, and today. And there's so much that's been, you know, sort of unfairly overlooked that is just absolutely great and deserves to, you know, be part of our repertoire. One of our hashtags that we use is expand the canon. So that's, you know, really fun to think of. And, you know, besides inspiring young African-American musicians with our curricular materials, we also hope to normalize the diversity of repertoire for all students who will become our audiences and performers of the future, and you know, won't accept that, you know, what's performed on the concert stage is not a full representation of our humanity.
Well, thank you so much. Congratulations. It's very exciting. I look forward to the next step in this project.
Yeah, well, you can check it all out on musicbyblackcomposers.org. We've got all kinds of reading lists and living composer directory and all kinds of, oh, and we have a coloring book. And yeah, it's very exciting.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.